Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, whether or not to have rail on Atlanta's Beltline sparks bitter debate. Expect a busy day at Atlanta's airport tomorrow, and today is the final day of the Georgia legislative session.
We do the things that we need to do to support our citizens and fund our priorities, but then also, I just want to make sure that we leave us in a good fiscal place when I walk out of here in 10 months or so.
Today is Thursday, April 2nd. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. About 500 workers at one of Georgia's largest tourist attractions will have to reapply for their jobs. Stone Mountain Park officials confirm the board of the park's state authority has selected Arizona-based Aramark Destinations as the park's new operator. Its current operator, Thrive SMP, gave notice to the state on Tuesday that the company was laying off those workers. Thrive and the park's board agreed to part ways after 4 years in February. The management transition will take place in June during the height of the busy summer tourist season. Today is the final day of the Georgia legislative session, also known as Sine Die. Lawmakers are expected to debate bills late into the evening tonight. Some bills expected to come up include an income tax reduction and changes to the voting system, as well as the state budget. Governor Brian Kemp says that he wants to make sure the budget sets the next administration up for success.
We do the things that we need to do to support our citizens and fund our priorities, but then also, I just want to make sure that we leave us in a good fiscal place when I walk out of here in 10 months or so.
The budget is the only bill that lawmakers are constitutionally required to pass. A bill aiming to curb surprise medical billing has passed the Georgia legislature. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
House Bill 506 requires health insurance providers to cover ambulance transfers if they are requested by a paramedic, even if the ambulance company is out of network. Representative Scott Hilton carried the bill in the House.
When you're having to take an ambulance somewhere, you've got something seriously wrong going on. The last thing you want to worry about or have to think about is the big surprise bill that comes at the end of that incident.
House Bill 506 passed the Senate earlier this session and now goes to Governor Brian Kemp's desk to be signed into law. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the State Capitol.
Tonight, the GPB lawmakers team will bring you a one-hour special outlining which bills have made it to the governor's desk. Watch Lawmakers tonight at 7 on GPB television or see more now at gpb.org/lawmakers. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport expects to serve 8.3 million passengers during the month-long spring travel season. TSA expects tomorrow to be the season's busiest day, with about 94,000 screenings. And while TSA agents continue to work during the partial government shutdown, a spokesperson for Atlanta business mogul Tyler Perry says those workers will be able to keep $250,000 worth of gift cards that he gave them. The spokesperson says confusion over whether those gift cards were allowed has been cleared up, and all of the cards, each valued at $1,000, has been given back to the employees. Atlanta nonprofit leaders are repurposing a historic downtown building to offer housing and support for men facing chronic homelessness. Local and state leaders were on hand to celebrate its opening yesterday. Governor Brian Kemp and Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens joined the ribbon cutting at the 114-year-old Oddfellows Building. The Georgia Works program will use it to offer workforce training, counseling, and housing to 160 men. Participants commit to sobriety and employment during the year-long program. Founder Bill McGann says the goal is to help people become productive citizens.
Our goal always is to put ourselves out of business. We hope one day that there's nobody that walks into our building and that we don't have to help people get off the streets and into a job. So unlike perhaps other programs who measure themselves on how many services they provide, we're hoping that one day we don't have to provide any.
The building includes affordable housing for recent graduates starting at $500 a month. Today, the Atlanta Beltline Trail is a popular destination for runners, skaters, and cyclists. The original vision for the loop included a train connecting Atlanta's neighborhoods, too. Now, transit plans have stalled, and opinions on it are split. GPB's Amanda Andrews spoke to Atlanta residents about how they think the Beltline should serve the public going forward.
From the Krog Street Market on a gray, rainy afternoon, there's still a clear view of people moving along the east side Beltline. People on foot and on wheels are all navigating the wet pavement. For Atlanta residents like Ken Edelstein, that kind of movement is what makes the Beltline a success.
It is a greenway that allows for micromobility and engagement with nature, which people absolutely are starving for in this city.
Edelstein is a board member for Better Atlanta Transit. The group wants to preserve this vision of the East Side Beltline.
We believe in transit that serves communities that need transit, and transit to the Beltline rather than on the Beltline. Use the Beltline where it works the best, which is on short run, last mile, first mile trips.
But in the earliest days of the Beltline, this wasn't the vision designers and engineers had in mind at all. The original plan for the Beltline intended for it to be a transit loop with a train connecting 45 neighborhoods around the city, in addition to the car-free trail Atlantans have come to love. And despite the fact that 10 years ago, residents voted for and approved a special sales tax for that train, no ground has been broken and no track has been laid. Atlanta resident and former reporter Alex Ipp relies on MARTA as his main form of transportation. With a background in science, he's studied how MARTA functions. He says the Beltline train should be built by now. Done. But the question remains where the first tracks should be laid. Ipp says build on the most popular part of the Beltline, near Ponce City Market. The same section of Beltline Ken Edelstein says people should travel to, not on.
That's the whole point of transit. Transit only works when there's dense residential areas, plenty of business opportunities, and amenities that bring people together.
On the East Side Beltline, that means lots of restaurants and shops, but also at least three grocery stores accessible from the trail. Past the southern end of the East Side Beltline, there aren't those kinds of choices. For Jeff Rader, another member of Better Atlanta Transit, that's not enough reason for a train.
If people are going to have to come from Southwest Atlanta to the East Side in order to go to a Kroger, that's a problem that should be solved by something other than having to travel that far.
Members of Better Atlanta Transit include city planners, business owners, and academics. Arguably the largest group still for Beltline Rail, says Atlanta City Councilmember Kelsey Bond, are Atlanta voters. At least, that's what they heard while they were campaigning last fall.
People wanted to see rail happen. It came up more than any other issue on the doors. At some point in our campaign, we actually surveyed Beltline Rail as an issue in District 2, and it was overwhelmingly popular in every single neighborhood, especially among young people.
Bond won 60% of the vote. Now they're planning to introduce a resolution on City Council to affirm that the city still supports Beltline Transit. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews on the Beltline.
The Justice Department says it's entered into an agreement with 42 Georgia state licensing boards to resolve allegations that the Georgia boards failed to recognize the out-of-state professional licenses of service members and their spouses. The allegation meant the Georgia boards were in violation of the Service Members Civil Relief Act. The first of its kind settlement will provide up to $3 million in compensation to service members and military spouses whose applications for licensure were improperly denied or delayed. The settlement also requires the Georgia boards to adopt new policies that comply with the Service Members Civil Relief Act and provide a streamlined application process for those already licensed in another state. As many as 5,000 service members and military spouses may be entitled to compensation under the settlement. A group of reproductive health advocates is challenging Georgia laws that restrict midwives. A lawsuit filed today argues the laws unfairly give doctors too much control over midwives' ability to practice. Hillary Schneller of the Center for Reproductive Rights represents plaintiffs in the case.
Georgia's laws don't just limit access to maternal health care. They treat midwives like criminals.
She says the laws contribute to poor maternal health outcomes. A bill to address the restrictions failed to gain traction in this year's General Assembly. Turkey hunting season on public land in Georgia opens on Saturday. The Georgia Department of Natural Resources Wildlife Resources Division says it's likely hunters will be successful this season. That's because 2 years ago, turkeys were reproducing at the highest rate in the past decade, and two-year-old turkeys are prime targets for hunters. Hunters 16 or older will need a hunting license and a big game license unless hunting on their own private land. The turkey hunting season runs through May 15th. Minor League Baseball news. The Rome Emperors open their season tonight against the Asheville Tourists. As part of the opening day festivities, the High A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves will offer special pregame activities involving performers participating in the 2026 spring edition of the Wings Over North Georgia Air Show. And the Columbus Clingstones open their season tomorrow night at home against the Chattanooga Lookouts. The AA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves will star Atlanta's number 6 prospect Owen Murphy on the mound. The opening day roster also features 3 Georgia-born players, catcher Tyler Tolvey of Atlanta, outfielder Tristan English of Stockbridge, and outfielder Kevin Kilpatrick Jr. of Stone Mountain. And springtime is in full swing. This weekend is Easter, with lots of related activities and communities across Georgia. However, not everything happening this weekend is Easter-related. Here are a few examples. The Savannah Music Festival continues this weekend. The Cherokee of Georgia Spring Powwow runs today through Sunday in St. George, Georgia. Atlanta has the Panda Fest. Kamek has the Railroad Days. And Metter is hosting the 32nd annual Another Bloomin' Festival. The Folklife Festival is in Tifton. Sandy Springs has Artsapalooza. And Ballground is hosting its Barbecue and Brews. And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, don't forget to check out our website, gpb.org/news. We'll post updates there. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, take a moment, do it now. It'll keep us current in your podcast feed. And your feedback, of course, is always welcome. Send it to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Georgia Today is going to take the day off tomorrow in observance of the state holiday. We will talk to you again on Monday.